When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Well, amen, and may God bless his word to us this morning. Let us pray once again before we look at this together. Father in heaven, we thank you for time to gather around your word. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for your truth, which is living and active. And Lord, you want to work that truth in all of our lives. And so please, we pray by the power of your Holy Spirit, be at work in each of our lives here today as you speak to us. In your name, Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. Well, I wonder what one of the best gifts that you have ever received is. One of the greatest gifts, as you think back over your life, that you think you have received, that gift that has maybe topped everything else. Maybe it's some jewelry that you've been bought, that diamond ring or those pearl earrings, that stands out. Or maybe it's a form of technology. It's that new OLED 4K HDR TV that has recently been bought for you. Or it's that iPhone XR. Or a new car. Maybe you've been given a new car. Lucky you. Or maybe it's a painting that you've been passed down. It's been given to you by your family, and that's a really precious gift. Or it might be an experience that you've been given. Tickets for Centre Court at Wimbledon. A backstage pass to a band. Or maybe tickets to see the Spice Girls, if that's what you're into. Or maybe the gift has been your children. The greatest gift has been your children. These gifts, maybe you've thought of something else. They're all great in lots of ways. But this morning we are thinking of a far, far greater gift. That of the Holy Spirit. It is the most precious and the most wonderful gift to have been given. And without this gift, as has already been said, none of us would be here today. I was visiting the Met Office in Exeter this week and was told that the power needed to run the supercomputers each day is more than the power used for the whole of Exeter and Exmouth. And the population there is about 160,000. So the power to run the Met Office per day is more than all the power for those thousands of people per day and their homes. But this greatest gift, the Holy Spirit, is even more powerful than that. From that first day when this gift was poured out on the day of Pentecost until today, the Spirit has been at work in people's lives, drawing millions, millions and millions of people to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a phenomenal power. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. And so let's think about God's powerful gift, that of the Holy Spirit, which has been poured out. And so firstly, God's powerful gift poured out as promised. As promised. Luke, in verse 1 of chapter 2, Luke is the author of Acts. He tells us that these believers are together in one place. They're together and they're waiting for the promise of God the Father for the Spirit to come. Back in Luke chapter 1 and verse 15, we're told there are about 120 believers who have gathered. Now, why is it significant that God has promised this Holy Spirit and that it's received on Pentecost? Well, God promising a harvest has been an annual event and a celebration for many years. This Pentecostal celebration was an annual holiday celebrated in early June, as we're remembering today. Jerusalem swelled to four times its capacity as people travelled from far and wide to come and celebrate this annual celebration and festival. Now, the day of Pentecost was 50 days after Passover. That is what Pentecost means, 50th. And it came literally as a week of weeks, 7 times 7 after Passover on the 50th day, and was also called the Day of First Fruits. Now, on this particular Pentecost, it was now 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus. Now, back in the Old Testament, the first cuttings of the harvest were kept, known as the first fruit. And then on day 50 were made into bread and offered to the Lord at the completion of the harvest. You can read about that in Leviticus 23. Well, why is that relevant to us today? Well, the Bible says Jesus is the first fruit. Now, 50 days later, the Spirit has been sent to gather the harvest. So at this Pentecost, the harvest is no longer grain, but it's people being presented to God. This is the beginning of a spiritual harvest. Those 120 believers who received the Spirit at Pentecost were the first, the beginning fruits of a much larger harvest to come. And we see that really quickly at the end of chapter 2, in verse 41, 3,000 souls were added to their number. Just the beginning of much more. At Pentecost is therefore a celebration that God promised he would provide. And the build-up to this spiritual harvest has been there for hundreds of years. God promised the Spirit years earlier. So nearly 600 years earlier, the prophet Ezekiel, in chapter 37, the Lord says, "I will put my Spirit in you, and you will live." The prophet Joel, chapter 2, "In the last days, God will pour out his Spirit on all people." John the Baptist said, "Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire." And Jesus promised, "I will not leave you as orphans, but will ask the Father to give you another counselor to be with you forever." This is God's powerful gift poured out as promised. For children today, one of the most sought after gifts, I think, is a mobile phone. To parents here, I've no idea what age that conversation came up for you, but for us as a family, it felt like it came up far too early. The children were still far too young. And so we had to set a time scale so our children knew what to expect. And we agreed the birthday before secondary school. That's when you can get your mobile phone. Well, apparently that makes us terrible parents because everyone else already has a phone by then. Well, that word or that promise is held very tightly. My daughter Leah's birthday is coming up and she'll be getting an eBay special, a mobile phone as promised. Well, God promised to send His Spirit, His Holy Spirit. Nothing else would do. And so as promised, He poured out His Spirit at Pentecost so that all who trust in Jesus would receive that gift. Well, why is that so significant? Well, for the Christian, God promised. He promised to fill you with His Holy Spirit when you trust in Him. He promised. Turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 38, over the page. It's just at the bottom, please. And Peter replied at the end of his sermon, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Spirit." And therefore, if you're trusting in Jesus, you have become part of the final spiritual harvest. God looks upon us and He sees His Spirit, and He knows that we belong to Him. God kept His word. Hundreds of years earlier, God promised, "I will put my Spirit in you." And so He has. And that promise is fulfilled today, but even more so, it looks forward. That Spirit is also the deposit, guaranteeing more to come. It guarantees our inheritance with God. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1, "The Spirit has sealed you and is the down payment of our inheritance." That of heaven itself. Do you know, without the Spirit of God, you are not part of the harvest. Without the Spirit of God, you do not have a down payment for heaven. And so I encourage you, ask yourselves this morning, am I trusting in Jesus? And therefore, have I received God's gift of the Holy Spirit? And for those who have, give thanks that God poured out His Holy Spirit as promised, and you are now part of this final harvest. So firstly, God's powerful gift has been poured out as promised. But secondly, God's powerful gift has been poured out to fill. It's been poured out to fill. Now Peter, he likes the word poured out. In his Pentecost sermon, which follows this passage, he uses it several times. So if you look at verse 17 in chapter 2, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit." Then in verse 18, "Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit." Then over the page again in verse 33, "Exalted to the right hand of God, He has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear." You know, most things that are poured out are to fill something. Think of a jug of water. You pour it and it fills a glass. Or your car. The fuel is poured out from the petrol pump to fill the tank. It is the same with the Spirit. It is poured out for a purpose. To fill people with God's presence. In the passage, the evidence for this is by three signs: fire, wind, and tongues. Fire first. No, let's start with wind. Verse 2, a sound like the blowing of a mighty wind came from heaven and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now that word wind, it means like a tornado. This is powerful, this wind. Notice, however, that it is just the sound. We're not told there was any actual wind. A frightening noise without being blown about. Well, this is the Spirit giving life. Ezekiel 37. It's the breath or the wind which gave life to the dead bones. It's the same life-giving Spirit at Pentecost. So firstly wind, then fire in verse 3. Then there seemed to be tongues of fire which separated and came to rest on each of them. Well, it's similar to Moses. Remember Moses, and he stood before the burning bush in Exodus 3. We're told they could see what seemed to be tongues of fire that appeared, but they were not burning, and it was not hot, although the flames were clearly visible. This fire is seen at Pentecost. A violent sound of wind without blowing, fire appeared without burning. And then thirdly, tongues, or more literally, languages spoken. And so in verse 4, filled with the Holy Spirit, they began to speak in other tongues, in other languages. The crowd were bewildered hearing this. These local people, the Galileans, heard these languages from all around the Roman Empire. In other words, what is being said is Galileans, these locals, shouldn't have been speaking all of these foreign languages. A supernatural confirmation that God is doing something great. Wind, fire, tongues, the Lord's divine presence through these three signs. On this Pentecost Sunday, God wanted it to be very, very clear that something significant was happening. And you couldn't mistake it from these signs. People being filled with the Holy Spirit. Recently, I got a puncture on my bike. It was a back wheel puncture, always a bit trickier to fix than the front. I got the puncture whilst I was on my way home. I could feel the bike getting heavier as the air was going out. I knew something was wrong. I tried to lean forward onto the front wheel so I could keep pedaling, but it got to the point where I was just dragging my back wheel behind me. Well, despite the distance, it was quicker to walk and better for my bike, probably. But think about tyres. Aren't they amazing? And maybe I should say the inner tube of the tyre. They are useless without one important element. Air. Air. Think how powerful air is in the tyre of a bike. Once you fill those inner tubes with air, it is much, much easier to ride a bike. Well, that air is powerful. And the same is true in our Christian lives. When we are filled with that all-important air, with the gift of the Spirit, it is powerful. And like an inner tube, it fills every area of our lives that we might live fully for God. God gives his Spirit to fill us. And from the second that we trust in Christ, we are being filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says we are being continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. And so from the young believer to the mature believer among us, that same Spirit has filled us. We may not have flames on our heads or hear a rushing wind, or even speak in other languages, but the Spirit is the same one at work. We have the same Pentecostal Spirit filling us today. And so what does this Spirit do in our lives? What does it do as it fills us? Well, Jesus called him the Comforter, or the Counselor, or the Helper. And day by day, as we seek to live for Jesus, we haven't been left, we've not been abandoned, but God has given us the greatest gift that he could, his very own Spirit. And this week, remember that you're not alone. You're never alone, because God's Spirit fills you. And therefore, this week, expect the Spirit to be at work in your life. The Spirit maybe needs to work with your friendship groups. So think of those that you gather with outside of this church. Maybe it's inside the church. I don't know you well enough. But maybe there'll be a point this week where you feel yourself being pulled away from living as you think you should as a Christian. Or something that made you distinctive in the past has become blurred as you meet with other people outside this church. Then expect the Spirit to work and expect the Spirit to niggle, wanting you to come back in line with living for Christ. Or think about your workplace. When the pressure is on to conform to a situation, or the pressure's on to cut corners, or the pressure's on to join in speaking badly about your manager, then expect the Spirit that fills you to niggle and be at work. Or think about your family or your marriage. Are you loving your husband or your wife as you should? Do you spend enough time with your children? And if the answer is no, then expect the Spirit which fills you to niggle and to put that desire within, that you might love your husband or wife more and spend more time with your children. The work of the Spirit is to make you more like Jesus, not just in our beliefs and what we might say on a Sunday, but our behavior throughout the week. This powerful gift has been poured out to fill us and transform our lives, helping us to live godly lives day by day. Finally, God's powerful gift has been poured out to unite. One of the things often mentioned in connection with this passage is that it shows a reversal of the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11. So back then, the Bible tells us that God spread people out and gave them different languages so they couldn't understand each other. And you can read about that in Genesis chapter 11. It's a great passage if you don't know it, and it's fairly easy to see what's happening. Well, God is now bringing his people back together through the universal language of the gospel. The spiritual language is now the same. And we know that is true. So being with a believer who we can't communicate with because they speak a different physical language does not remove the love of God that can be shared and the hope of the gospel that is shared between believers. You still have that, even if you can't speak the same actual language. Quick drink. One of the things that unites people around the world is football. I don't especially follow any team, but you can't help but notice and hear about it, especially with big games. So last Saturday, there was a big European game being played between Liverpool and Spurs. And I know I'm on dangerous ground potentially mentioning this. Liverpool won. But what struck me was not necessarily the result, but it was the trophy parade on the Sunday. I only caught some of it, but there was men and women, young and old, those of all nationalities could be seen, united by nothing else but their love of Liverpool FC. I then had a look online, and thousands upon thousands around the world had followed the live footage of this parade in Liverpool. Fans galore to varying degrees. And when you go to a match wherever in the world, you feel very at home when surrounded by those supporting the same team as you. Well, God's powerful gift of his Spirit unites believers. It cuts across tribe, race, tongue, male and female, young and old. The gospel is for the world. The Spirit makes us part of the body of Christ, the church, and his worldwide family. And the purpose of being united by the Spirit is shown in this passage. It is to go out and proclaim the good news of Jesus. The purpose is to go out and proclaim the good news of Jesus. So the names of the countries given in verses 9 to 11, they might not mean much to us, but the Jews gathered in Jerusalem were from Iran, Iraq, Syria, Turkey, Egypt, Libya, Rome, and further. And so as this crowd gathers, what do they hear in verse 11? The end of verse 11, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in their own tongues. They heard rejoicing. They heard praising in their own language. And that is what we are called to do as the body of Christ. Declare the wonders of God this week. This group in Jerusalem would have gone back home after the festival to their own countries for many others to hear about Jesus. We know at least 3,000 were saved that day. The first thing that Peter did was preach a whole sermon. Now, many of us will not leave preaching a sermon to each person we bump into in the street. But most of us will leave and will scatter in Derby this week. Maybe some to Leicester, some to Nottingham if you work there. Some as far as Sidmouth. But we go filled with the very powerful Spirit of God. Not as a lone ranger, but as part of the united body of Christ. To declare the wonders of God. And we do that through our witness, through our words to our neighbours, our colleagues, our family and our friends, trusting the Holy Spirit to be at work. Well, I want to finish with one further thing. I want to notice the response of the people when hearing about their own language. So look at verse 6 with me. It says, when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment. It literally means they were stopped in their tracks. They heard this language and it was kind of wow. In verse 7, we're told they were utterly amazed. It literally means they were swept off their feet. In verse 12, again, we're told they were amazed and perplexed. Yet, verse 13, others mocked and made fun. And so how will you respond today? Peter, at the end of his Pentecost sermon, he pleads with the crowds before him, repent, turn to God and know forgiveness of your sins. And God wants you to be amazed this morning as we gather as church, united in the love of Jesus. There are some people from different countries here, I'm led to believe. But the main difference is in terms of personality, age, and background, yet united in Jesus. And as Peter pleaded, so do we. Come and know Jesus this morning. Do not be like the others who mock and make fun, saying they had too much wine. God has brought you here this morning for a reason, to know him personally. So how will you respond? With amazement to who the Lord Jesus is and his Spirit, or by mocking? Will you go back home today knowing that you belong to the Lord's harvest and have been made part of it? Don't keep making excuses or even mocking, but be amazed that God wants you to be part of his harvest and give your life to him today. For those who love God and know him, may your hearts be full of thanks. God sent his Spirit as promised. The Spirit fills your life and unites us to go out from here and to tell others the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Let's pray together. Let's just have a moment of quiet for the Spirit to be at work. Maybe you know this past week where things have been hard, whether it's with your family or at work, or you haven't lived as Christ calls you to. Maybe the Spirit wants to convict you of that and change you and help you this coming week. Holy Spirit, please be at work, we pray, helping us to live more like Christ. We thank you that being a Christian is so much more than being here on a Sunday and singing the right words, but we want to live that out. Please help us to do that, we pray. We thank you that you didn't leave us or abandon us, but you have filled us with your presence. And we are so grateful for that, helping us to live for you each day and convicting us of our sins. And we thank you that it is that Spirit that unites us, the body of believers. And please help us to remember that when we go out and tell others about you this coming week. In your name, Jesus, we pray these things. Amen.